You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
There's nothing left of downtown. Wake Up Tucson, Sean McCluskey, Shelley Geis.
Be kind, Sean.
That was
be
being kind. If you want to hear the truth, I'll tell you the truth. It might hurt somebody's feelings, so like the mayor's. I'll be nice. I'll stop there. We had Dustin Williams, Superintendent of Schools, on the last half hour.
Wow.
And he laid out some footwork and some ground game that's going to take place here in the next 30 days. I mean, schools start in the Vail School District and in a couple other spots across the country on 7/20. So less than 30 days away, we're rocking and rolling. What are we going to do? Great question. But yesterday, Governor Ducey had his press conference.
Yep.
He said that $270 million will get dumped into education. 98% of last year's funding will still be there. And of that $270 million coming from the CARES Act, $200 million will go to remote learning. Shelley, you said something off air that was very profound. Governor Ducey knows what he's going to do.
Well, I said Governor Ducey knows what he's going to do. You've got $270 million in federal cash coming to help our Arizona schools. He earmarks $200 million of it for remote learning. What that means to a school board is we're giving you money, but you can only use it for this. So what does that mean? That means we buy more Chromebooks. We invest maybe in, maybe we start using some other software platforms for the remote learning. We look at additional curriculum that is more conducive. We train our teachers. A lot of our teachers aren't trained. This whole remote learning thing is all new. I've done some things remote learning, and I'm running multiple platforms so that I'm able to work in my clients' system so that I can see into their computer, as well as, you know, I have a chat going. I have a bunch of things going. It's I'm literally running four monitors in front of me.
That's insane.
It is insane. It's a lot of work. It's way harder than if I do platform delivery.
You know, we've changed the way we do business in the real estate market, but it's not like we didn't show occupied homes for a while, which was good because you didn't want to help spread the disease. But then you're doing Facebook Live and you're walking through and you're video chatting with people, and you just don't get the same experience. I feel that in the classroom, if you've got the teacher remote learning and the kid sitting there on the couch or the kid sitting at a desk or a table in the house, they're not getting that same experience.
Yeah, you know what, though? Superintendent Williams said something that we all need to just really take heed. When you put a mask on a kindergartner...
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck. And you put a mask on a seventh grader, then another seventh grader is going to pull the mask off. You know, I understand that the safety is paramount. I get it. I get that. But, you know, you put a mask on an adult, like, well, Sean, like you or me, we're going to be taking it off too. I mean, what's the first thing you do if you have a mask on? You get in your car, what's the first thing you do?
No, I don't even get to the car. I'm that guy that walks in. I know I got to wear the mask in the store if I'm in Pima County. So
right.
I walk into the store. I'm three steps into the store. I put my sunglasses on top of my head. Then I go to put my mask on. As soon as I go to leave, I'm 15 feet from the door. I rip the damn thing off because I don't like it. I don't like it touching my face. I don't like the way that I breathe in it. It's just not for me. I'm not a fan. I wear it because I'm told that I'm forced to wear it. Now, I can, of course, play the whole I have problems breathing and blah, 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 and hip and all that crap. I'm not that guy. So I'll wear your stupid mask, but this mask here that I'm wearing doesn't stop diddly spot. It doesn't stop a damn thing.
Right.
If I sneeze, okay, the VA gave me a mask. They gave me a good mask according to their standards. Temperature scanned me, put me inside the place, and I'm sitting with my doctor, and I have their mask on. I can't breathe through the thing. I had to open it up when I walked up the stairs. You sit down, and they take your temperature and all this fun stuff, and you go through. Well, halfway through my exam, I had to sneeze. What do you do? We've been, for 100 years, been covering our mouth with our hand, right? I sneezed into my mask and covered my hand outside my mask and had to go wash my hand because I had yuck on my hand. So the mask they gave me doesn't stop nothing from going through it, anything. from going through it. So you're giving a kid a bandana. You're giving them this stupid cloth mask that costs $4. You buy one that's actually really good, and it's three layers thick. Now the kid hyperventilates because he can't get any oxygen. How do you win in this situation?
You know, and we've got kids that we're going to ask them to be in masks from about 7:30 in the morning until 3 o'clock. That's a long time.
The kid's got asthma. He's got a breathing condition. You got him in a mask. You're not helping him.
Okay. So, I mean, we have all kinds of issues. So, you know, Superintendent Williams, you know, bless him, he came out and said, look, this is really tough. I mean, Kathy Hoffman, she's, you know, we have the roadmap to reopening, and it's a bunch of guidance. And through this, I can't remember how many pages it is, but through all of this guidance, one of the things they do is say over and over again that this is not a legal document. So I think the piece that is really important is to all of those 1,200 school board members in the state of Arizona. What holds you not liable?
I was just going to say, what keeps me, if my kid gets sick, from coming after you and saying you made school start?
Yes. So I have the recorded vote. You voted to open the schools.
Where's the protection from legislation? Where's that no liability for the schools if you open?
Exactly.
But then again, if you go to Lowe's and you get sick, do you sue Lowe's?
Well, you know what? No, I don't, because here's the big problem. You're going to have a hard time proving that it was Lowe's.
You're going to prove that your kid's in school, but he's there for 7 hours a day.
You know what? You put your kid in school for 7 hours a day.
I've got a chance.
Yeah. You got a chance.
You know, this goes, there's so much to this.
It's okay. An endless loop.
And we spent half an hour with the superintendent of schools. But, you know, I woke up this morning, my internet didn't work. And I was having a bad day. Okay? This guy wakes up in the morning and goes to sleep at night, and he's got to figure out all this stuff.
Yeah. He took the
impossible.
Job. He took the job.
Oh, well, I understand. But this is pretty darn
impossible. He didn't know this was coming. He may not have taken the job.
Wow.
If he'd known this was coming.
No, man, this is crazy stuff. This is really.
Let's go to line two real quick. We got a caller on 790-2040. Charles, how you doing?
Good. I was just thinking of a solution to this. Or not a solution, but a way of addressing it. One thing you could do is wear a Guy Fawkes mask. That does cover your nose and your mouth and complies with the regulation, but would allow you to breathe a lot better. And it might just be a solution. Another thing you could do is these face shields. These are a compromise that do comply with the regulation, but they allow you to breathe more heavily. And if you do sneeze, you won't get it. You won't aspirate it onto other people.
No, I got to clean my face mask.
What'd you say?
Then you have to clean your face mask. So it gives us more options. That's really what we're looking for. Charles, I think it's a call. We've got to go to a quick break. Charles called in 790-2040. If you want to get on the action, give us a call. We're going to be right back after this. 10:30 The Voice, trusted in local news and talk. All righty, we're back. Wake Up Tucson. Sean McCluskey, Shelley Kais. Talking still about public instruction. We had Dustin Williams, superintendent of schools, on in the 7:30 hour at 8 o'clock. Gave us a bunch of great information about what they're going to do, what they're going to try to do, what they're not going to do. And nobody has a clue when it comes right down to it. Mm-mm. And then you sit on the school board, and you know, you've got some folks that are going to attack you, whether you do the right thing or the wrong thing, in their opinion.
And absolutely.
I mean, it's everybody. It doesn't matter which side of the fence they're on. You're not going to be able to make everybody happy.
You know what? Being on a school board, you never make everybody happy all the time anyway. So, you know, you go into that job straight away knowing that you're not going to make everybody happy. But, you know, somebody texted me during the break and said, what is platform delivery? So, I'm kind of thinking of to just make sure everybody understands. So this is that face-to-face in the classroom versus the remote learning. So we've got Betsy on line two now. Let's with a question. Betsy, good morning.
Well, good morning. How are you? You guys are doing great. It's hard to cover for Chris because there is only one Chris DeSimone.
I'm better.
Sean, it's great to hear your voice.
thank you.
And thank you for covering. As you know, I'm working remotely and I've been a fan all along, but I have a comment with regards to your discussion about the fall semester and what schools look like. So can we please go back and study history? And I just got my Nebraska Alumni Magazine for the University of Nebraska, and there's an article about the Spanish flu pandemic more than a century ago. And it talked about on October 1st, 1918, and the Spanish flu pandemic was only beginning to wreak damage at the UNL, at University of Nebraska in Lincoln. And ultimately, that virus affected globally 50 to 100 million people worldwide, and it killed an estimated 2,800 to 7,500 Nebraskans. I know that's a big gap, but that's what the records indicate from the State Historical Society. So my point is this, is that we don't know what tomorrow brings, but we have to be patient on the vaccine, and we just have to just accept the things we can control. And as a group discussion, we hope that what happens, what one school happened, you know, starts with, we'll watch closely how Vail goes back to school next month and see what that's working. But we're smart enough to know that history does matter. And let's look at what they did 100 years ago. And how can we learn from that? Because I'm sad to say this is not the last pandemic we'll have probably in my lifetime. But I just appreciate the conversation that you have. But I think that we need to be a little bit more patient.
So you're saying hold off, not open.
I'm saying be patient. I don't know. I think that the 4th of July, we'll see more numbers because we saw more numbers right away after Memorial Day. It's like, avoid crowds, people. Just stay home. And I am the last person that will ever be seen as a patient person. And the isolation is just not fitting me well. But I have no choice in the matter. And so, but I'm healthy and I'm still going to the gym all the time, and the gym staff are wearing the shield. So I advocate those. They seem to be working for the staff. I have my mask that I put on and go into the post office and, you know, the store, and that's about it. But I'm hiking a lot, and I'm not wearing a mask when I hike, but, it's just, we have to be patient and monitor, but it's hard to judge when we don't know what that future holds.
And you know what, Betsy, I really appreciate that. My concern is I'm going to have to make a decision. I'm going to have to make a vote as a school board member. And it's a real challenge. It's a real challenge. And I'm a data analyst, so I'm looking at the numbers. I'm looking at trends. And so I really appreciate your comments. I am a pretty patient person, so we'll heed your advice.
Ed's got a question. Yeah. Betsy.
I'm with Betsy. That's always been in the back of my mind. July 20th. Why do we have to go back to school July 20th? Why can't it be after Labor Day this year? Okay, what's the hurry? If we don't know what the heck we're doing, we don't know what's going on out there, why are we pushing it July 20th? Maybe not all the districts are. Maybe one is. But you know what I mean? Why don't we just, we don't have to put it off till next year, but we can put it off at least until we figure out what's going on. And what is wrong with September 7th or something like that?
Sure. It makes sense.
That's all.
Right.
And then
right.
See where
and,
we're at.
You know, my mom was on the school board forever. You know, believe me, a child of a school board member is just the worst case scenario because you're always held to a different level and different measure. But going back, history, Spanish flu, 100 years ago, we had a lot smaller classrooms. We had one-room schoolhouses. We still had and for those, like you said earlier, Sean, about the kids with asthma, you know, some of those kids are going to have to be homeschooled because they just can't expose themselves. They're too vulnerable. But let's be smart about it. Don't assume that the general public and the school board and public school system is going to know what's right for your child. And there's a lot of successful people that have been homeschooled. Oh, my goodness. You know, and again, it goes back to the parents, but the parents have the final say of what's best for their kid and for their child. And believe me, I'm the smartest parent there never was. I'm never going to assume that I know best. But I'm just saying is that in a school board, every leader that's in a leadership position right now, God bless them. You know, they never knew what they were signed up to do. This 2020 is just unbelievable. But elections matter. We got to get Trump back in there. We have to be smart about the things going forward. But I wish you all the best. I just wanted to chime in on those comments.
Thanks so much, Betsy. And you know what? Whatever school district you're in, I'll bet that there is a position on that school board for you.
Oh,
and,
no.
And,
no.
And signatures aren't due till July 6th.
No.
Have a great day, said no. Betsy. Thanks for the call, Betsy. Appreciate it. Betsy called 790-2040.
Bye-bye.
Have a wonderful day. If you want to get on the conversation, give us a call. We got Al on line 3, but I believe Ed's talking to Al. Well, yeah, let's put Al on the line.
Go ahead. Oh, Al, are you there?
Al?
He was.
You can call me Al.
No, he was just talking about the history of it, why they moved it, you know, because of the schools and the,
sure.
kind of the colleges and all that stuff. But what I was saying back to him was, yeah, that was then and this is now. We're in a whole different situation right now. It's not about the history of where we were and when we are. The here and now is really
well, yesterday, yesterday before the governor's meeting, the dean of the University of Arizona came out and said they're going to start school.
Yep.
Right on time. They're not planning to push it back or anything. And that was before yesterday's meeting. So we'll see how what is tune changes. But, I mean, if the University of Arizona starts and TUSD doesn't start, how does that work? I mean, we've got international students. You've got out-of-state students. Do they wait, like you said, and do that last holiday at home and then come back?
You know, it makes great sense to look at not starting until after Labor Day. Let's just everybody take a deep breath and let's just think about this, see what happens. You know, I taught school when I was a public school teacher. I taught in Maryland, and we didn't start, or we had to get out. We had to get out in time for the kids to work in the strawberry fields up in Western Maryland. So you know what, we can set school days around what works, and there's no reason why, Ed, what you and Betsy said, let's all just be patient.
But if you think about it, though, you start, University of Arizona normally starts middle of August, August 15th, call it. And then you get there for 2 weeks, then you go home for Labor Day weekend, and you come back. Well, you just went to Arizona, hung out with
flew
40,000 people, your closest friends, I'm sure, and then you go back home. And now you just give it to your mom and dad, but now you live in New Mexico.
But you can't go home to Connecticut because you have to wait for 14 days to come back. It's crazy. Okay, yeah.
Connecticut, so let's, New Jersey, New York, Kansas.
Just chill. President of Arizona State University, Michael Crow, is on with Zach in a half an hour at 9 o'clock today.
Perfect.
Hear from him.
You can ask him some more questions himself.
Find out what's thinking about up in there. So.
Hey, coming up in 5 minutes, we've got Senator Martha McSally. We're going to go over a bunch of things with her. She's got a new bill out that encourages people to travel. I don't know if you can because of what's going on right now. I mean, how do you work that one out with all the restrictions that are going on? So that's going to be a good question there. We'll talk to her about her election and a whole bunch of other things. 8:29 in the morning, Wake Up Tucson. Sean McCluskey, Shelley Kice, Ed Alexander, spinning the tunes. We'll be right back after this.
Wake up, Tucson. This is Sean McCluskey and Shelley Kice with you. We've got Christina on line 2.
Christina, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. I just want to give you a heads up that the Vail School Board will be considering a motion or whatever to delay the start of school until August 10th, which gives us 2 more weeks to plan to see what is going on. You know, just in Pima County and all that. So that would reduce our fall break to 2 weeks from 3. The spring break would go from down to 1 week from 2 weeks. And then I believe we would also go back for a couple of days after Memorial Day in order to meet that 180-day threshold.
Nice.
So that's my understanding.
Thank you, Christina.
And they're going to vote on that or at least talk about it tonight, right?
Yes. Tonight at 6 p.m., I believe, is the Vail School Board meeting.
Outstanding, Christina. Appreciate the info. It fits right in what we were talking about for the last hour, so really do appreciate that. Thanks for calling in. Christina called 790-2040. If you want to get on the conversation, please give us a call. Right now, we've got Senator Martha McSally on the phone with us. Senator, how you doing, ma'am?
Good morning. How are you doing, Sean and Shelley?
We are fabulous.
Excellent.
It is so good to have you on. You've got a lot going on right now. You've got the filibuster that just took place by the Dems, your new bill that's coming out that would help people travel across the country. A few things about your bill that you can get up to $4,000 if you traveled from January 1st up until the end of the year. You can double it if you do it with your family. You can add your kids for $500. How does that work with the statewide restrictions that they just imposed in the Northeast?
Well, look, here's the deal. We're asking people to consider traveling safely when they can. Everybody's in different circumstances. But as we've seen, this unprecedented pandemic, a calamity unlike we haven't seen in a century, as unemployment was under 14% across the board, it was like 36% in the hospitality industry, those who are working in hotels and restaurants and tour guides and things like that. So there's a couple of options here, right? We can either way, there's going to be some level of price that is paid for this. These businesses are either going to go under. We're going to have massive unemployment. These are people who are working hard right on the edge, right? They're working poor right on the edge, trying to continue to provide for their families. And so this is allowing incentives for people to rediscover America, rediscover Arizona, explore America tax credit is what President Trump calls it. And allow opportunities for them to continue to have their jobs when people can do it safely. So there's opportunities for you to be able to safely do things like that, but this is personal responsibility as well. And this goes well into the future because, you know, the impact we saw after 9/11 was the travel and tourism industry took about 18 months to recover. And the experts are saying this is anywhere between 7 to 9 times worse. So what can we do for the almost 200,000 Arizonans who are in this industry who are being crushed right now? We can provide opportunities for people to safely be able to use those industries and use those services so they can keep their jobs.
What type of pushback or positive feedback are you getting on the Hill?
Well, this was President Trump's idea. He talked about it in a roundtable recently, so we turned it into action. And then Larry Kudlow, his economic advisor, talked very positively about it yesterday on Fox Business. So I had a good conversation with him the night before. As we're looking at what potential things we need to do moving forward, going from rescue packages, which we did in the CARES Act, to now economic recovery, what else do we need to do? We got to bring manufacturing home from China. We've got to incentivize work. We've got to continue to support the hardworking small businesses and entrepreneurs. There's opportunities in technology and other sectors, PPE and bringing manufacturing home. So what can we do to put the economy in an afterburner and propel jobs in a positive direction? We knew how to do this without a pandemic. We already showed it before the pandemic hit. So as we look for opportunities to revitalize and recover and propel our economy forward, hopefully this is a part of conversation. The administration has said this is one of their pillars that they want in the next package, which is why Larry Kudlow said, look, we've been talking about it, but we didn't have a plan to point to. Now we have your plan, and we're happy to, you know, make adjustments and, consider ways to, improve it. But this is a part of the conversation, I think, going forward.
President Trump yesterday said that he was warming up to the idea of a secondary economic relief package, but he said that it would be different distribution this time. Is this part of that different distribution?
Yeah, so what we're talking about, Sean, is, look, when the pandemic first hit and we had so much uncertainty, we still didn't know a lot about the virus because of China's cover-up activity. What we were concerned about was a full collapse of our economy, which would have calamity like we can't even imagine. So we were trying to get resources out the door to get cash to families and workers and small businesses to just keep them all afloat. And it was not we chose speed. It wasn't precise, but it was speed to get cash out the door to avoid economic collapse. Now what we are focusing on, I would say Republicans and the administration, are what else do we need to do that's targeted, that's focused on economic recovery from the pandemic, still investing in, of course, treatments and cures and defeating the disease and supporting our hospitals and healthcare workers, ensuring those who are the most vulnerable are protected in nursing homes, assisted living, making sure that there's the resources available there for testing and PPE. But how do we have a more targeted approach? Some businesses are actually booming in this, so they don't need support. But where do we need to provide a targeted approach that incentivizes business growth and jobs while people can safely work as we defeat the virus? We have to do all the above here. It's not one or the other, the way the fake news media tries to portray this.
So one of your campaign points is you want to bring home, especially pharmaceuticals from China. How are we looking on that front? Yes. Is that getting traction in either the House or the Senate?
Yes. I think people have really been awakened that over the last decades, failed policies, people like Joe Biden voting for jobs to go overseas, that we're not reliant on this adversary. China is not our friend. They're not a competitor. They're our adversary. They want to replace us. They want to dominate the world. They've been doing it in plain sight and basically feeding off us as a parasite due to our failed policies. And it's time for us to bring home manufacturing of pharmaceuticals, PPE, critical minerals, and things that are involved in our national security. So in the National Defense Bill, which we are starting to work on the Senate floor, we have some language specifically on bringing that manufacturing home, focused on national security for pharmaceuticals. More needs to be done in the broad sector. So it's tax credits and support to investors that are going to bring that manufacturing home and make sure that we're competitive and that our Americans can get access to the drugs they need, and we're not relying on an adversary who could cut them off while they play geopolitical games with us.
Can our American companies do it at the same cost or better?
Of course, we're America, for crying out loud. We could certainly do it safely. So we have certainly the most innovation here with our entrepreneurial spirit, doing that with advanced manufacturing. We've got to have the will. Some of the challenges we have for sure is we've got state-owned companies in China. We've got them stealing our technology. We've got them, subsidizing industries so that they compete in different ways. So we got to be smart about how we do that. If we've got to, because of their cheating, if we've got to put some, protectionist tariffs on their imports, these are some of the tools we have in the toolkit in order to protect Buy America and Made in America for the things we need to keep people alive, healthy, and for our national security.
What are you looking at doing next? Do you have anything that you're cooking or working up on other bills that you're going to present?
Well, we're working on amendments for the defense bill, which is critical, and that's going to the floor next week. We were able to save the A-10. It got little attention. The Air Force was trying to cut 44 A-10s from Davis-Monthan starting in October. The squadron I commanded, they were going to decommission. And so we stopped that from happening again. And we're bringing that bill to the floor. We've got a lot of amendments that are very much focused on our national security and bringing manufacturing home and prohibiting Chinese companies. The Pentagon just came up with a list of Chinese companies that have ties to the Chinese military, banning them from being able to do business with them. These are common sense things where they are just using our free market principles and Americans' desires to be able to use, things like TikTok. And that's not one of the companies, but, these are things that China is just using to be able to get access to information on Americans. We've got to wake up and we've got to use all elements we can in order to stop that from happening. And it's unlike when we were dealing with the Soviet Union, where we weren't entangled with them. We're entangled with China economically. So we've got to figure out how to bring that stuff home and protect Americans, protect our information and our security.
Martha, can you hang on and do another segment with us, or do you have to run today?
No, I can do another one, yeah.
Perfect. Let's do this. Take a quick break. We're on Senator Martha McSally.
Okay, great.
She is on Wake Up Tucson. This is Sean McCluskey. Shelley Kice at Alexander is going to take us away. If you have a question for the senator, give us a call, 520-790-2040. Be right back.
Chris Isaac's birthday today, too.
We've got...
All righty, welcome back. It's Sean McCluskey, Shelley Kice, sitting in for Christy Simone on Wake Up Tucson. We are talking with Senator Martha McSally. Ma'am, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well. Thanks for joining us today. Shelley and I were talking off air that there is a proposed 3% increase for the military in the NDAA bill. Is that what it is, Shelley?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Any chance of that going through? Every time we can get a military raise, I'm all for it. So what are your
Absolutely.
Thoughts on that getting through?
Absolutely. It had broad bipartisan support. So we're going to carry that through for sure in the Senate version. I'm not sure what the House version has. But everybody should want to be supporting our troops to make sure that they are rewarded and paid well, so that pay raise. And there's other things in there that are related to support to military families and, making sure they have access to the health care, full access to health care and child care and everything that they need in order to be able to serve our country, put their lives on the line. And we want to recruit and retain the best. And so this should be a unifying issue.
I watched the Air Force graduation yesterday from basic training, and it was very different from when you and I went through. And they had masks on. There was nobody there. And the MC literally said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce you to..." And I was like, "There's nobody there." But I realized at that point, Facebook Live, everybody was watching, so he did it that way. But just so different. How has COVID-19 affected our military and our training? Has it slowed us down in any way, shape, or form, or made us more vulnerable?
Well, I think our military is doing a fantastic job trying to manage this. We still are responsible for ensuring that our military is ready and trained. Our adversaries are watching. And I've engaged with all of our commanders at the bases in Arizona. They can't come to a standstill, but they have been really smart about when they're onboarding people for training. For example, down at Fort Huachuca, they bring in all the initial intel training. So they bring them in, they screen them, they quarantine for 14 days, and then they basically keep them in a bubble, and they continue to go through training. I watched how they were doing some training outside in different places, putting up some plexiglass, like, everywhere. But we still have to make sure we have a trained and ready military. So doing that smartly and safely, it's certainly an essential part of work that needs to go on. And I'm really proud of our men and women in uniform and the leadership and how they've been able to manage this in Arizona and keep the training going to ensure that we have a ready force. You know, keeping everybody safe.
Adapt, overcome, succeed. It's pretty much what we do in the military, and we're really good at it. So,
exactly. So very creative.
Senator McSally, our creativity today on June 26, using the Microsoft Teams platform, the Army has a national hiring day. They're going to have national hiring days. They're going to try and bring in 10,000 new recruits here, new soldiers.
Awesome.
And our base, I believe the NDAA authorizes an end strength of 485,000 in our U.S. Army. So
that's awesome.
We need, so anybody who's out there listening today, if you're interested in a career with the U.S.
Amen.
Army, that's what you need to look into.
Senator McSally, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, for a lot of young people, not really sure. There's a lot of uncertainty right now. I've got my own nephew who came out, worked on my earlier campaign and, went off to basic training in the Air Force. It wasn't the right path for him to, like, go off to college, but he is thriving in the military. I'm so proud of him. He'll be embarrassed I'm talking about him. But for so many people, gaining skills, purpose, being a part of something greater than yourself, then having the GI Bill, even if you just serve 4 or 6 years, it's really a great path, and I would encourage anybody to step up, have that conversation with a recruiter about serving.
Absolutely. That's how you get started. You go in, you go to your recruiter, and you go from there.
Yep.
So, Senator McSally, it looks like we're going to take a vote here on making Washington, D.C. the 51st state. I believe that vote is today.
It is.
Yes, it is. So, what do you think? Yay or nay?
I think people need to... No. Oh, my gosh. No, of course not. People need to wake up that if the left is in charge, if we have a Biden-Schumer-Pelosi agenda, they are going to bust the filibuster, and this is their agenda. They will make D.C. and Puerto Rico a state. They will get 4 new Democrat senators. We will never be able to get the Senate back again. They will expand the Supreme Court. They don't like the direction it's going in, and they want to stop that. So they're going to add more justices. I mean, just look at what they're saying. Open borders, free health care for everyone here legally, green bad deal, government takeover of health care, raise your taxes a ridiculous amount. And then you just look at the mob rule that's going on here. This has now gotten to a place of, what kind of America do you want to be in? One from that has the mob rule or one that has the rule of law? And just look at what Nancy Pelosi is doing, and you will see what is at stake in 130 days. And we need everybody to get off the sidelines to be able to fight for our futures.
If somebody wants to donate to your campaign or they want to learn more about you, how do they find out about you?
They can go to McSallyForSenate.com. Look, we are ground zero. This is Arizona's ground zero battleground for the president. It is for the Senate. For our race, Mark Kelly needs to come back down to earth. Everyone needs to know his first vote is for Chuck Schumer and their crazy left-wing agenda. This isn't about whether you like astronauts or fighter pilots. This is about the direction of our country, and they're pouring millions of dollars into him to try and pretend he's not a Democrat. So we got to make sure we fight all we can to get our message out with the ground game. Everybody who cares about our freedoms and our way of life, this is the most consequential election in our lifetime, and Chuck Schumer is going to pry that Senate majority out of my cold, dead hands, but I need your help.
What are you, planning any rallies or anything down here in southern Arizona?
Well, you know, I get back there as often as I can. We're doing a lot of virtual things these days. You know, I was with the president on Tuesday. That was amazing, by the way, flying on Air Force One back to Arizona with him. And just what an experience. There's a lot of really, you know, crappy things about being in this role, but you know, we have to put up with a lot of stuff. But being on Air Force One was like a bucket list experience. I know the VP is going to be there on Tuesday. We're unfortunately in session working on the NDAA, so I'm not going to be able to make it there for him. So we'll see moving forward what we can do safely and smartly as we face this, you know, consequential election of a lifetime.
Perfect. Senator Martha McSally, thank you very much for joining us today. We do appreciate your time, do appreciate all you're doing for Southern Arizona, and keep the A-10 around a little bit longer, would you please?
All right, exactly. Go A-10. God
Absolutely.
Bless you guys. Hey, I had an A-10 shark teeth mask on, and people were like, why do you have that meat? I'm like, no, it's the warthog. Look, here's the 30 millimeter right here. It's hilarious.
That's awesome. I love it. Thank you so much again, Senator right, Martha McSally. You have a wonderful day, and fight for us. Appreciate you.
Amen. Take care. Bye.
So that, Senator Martha McSally, if you want to get on her campaign, as she said, gooders. Senator McSally for Senate, and that'll get you everything you need for her, and you can find her email address to get a hold of her. Do you want to, is John still on the line? Or did John just give me a question? Either way.
That was a question.
Okay, perfect. I just wanted to make sure. John Holden, thanks for calling. I appreciate you. He had a question about if she's going to come down and do any more rallies, and that's why I asked. So, and that's the best thing we can do. Every time I get a lot of text during when we're on air, and I get a lot of questions asked. And with Senator McSally, I've known her for a long time. I mean, I loaded her in my A-10 back when I was active duty military. She came and spoke to my squadron. That's how we first met. So then I worked on her first campaign and helped her out there. So it's just, I've got a long relationship with her. I appreciate her for what she does with veterans. If I have a veteran who needs help, and if you are a veteran and you need help with the VA, send me a text, 520-440-0947. I will get you in contact with her office. She has a representative who solely, that's all they do, is fight the VA battle for the veteran. She is one of a few people in Congress that take advantage of the special provision that they're allowed to have a representative, and it doesn't come from their congressional salary base. It comes out of the special fund. So every senator and every Congress member should have this, but many don't, and especially in your southern Arizona, they don't have it. So if you care about your veterans, check and make sure that your representative that you're voting for has this person in place, because it speaks volumes of what they do. If they care, they have them. If they don't give a damn, they don't have them. That's my take on it.
There you go. That's absolutely right. We do want to support our veterans, and every now and then our veterans get caught in glitches where they can't get help at the VA, or they're having some other types of issues, and so we want to be able to reach out to our representatives and our senators to make things happen. Yeah. And so we do that. Well,
she's really good at it. I was going to say, Senator Flake, he wasn't my favorite senator, but when I needed help with veterans, he was always there to help me. So I didn't always agree with him. And I started out saying that I don't always agree with Senator McSally.
Right.
I like her, but I don't always agree with her. There are some things, and I'll call her out. I'll send her a text. What the heck are you doing? And she'll give me her justification. And whether I agree with it or not, it's the fact that these are my principles. This is what I stand by. And you know where she's always going to land.
Right.
That's what I like about her. And like I said, she's not perfect. Nobody is. And if you think you're perfect, go look in the mirror and check yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Something's not right. Well, Sean, we have had a pretty busy day today, talking about a lot of interesting stuff, learned a lot. So if you're in the Vail District, you'll certainly want to attend that school board meeting tonight and see what they're looking at. Looks like they're looking to delay their opening until August. Great. We had great news from Dustin Williams.
Superintendent of Schools.
Yeah, Pima County Superintendent of Schools, talking about how we're going to open up schools, things we need to think about. Betsy called in, great caller, called in and said, hey, we just all need to be patient. I did not get any tiramisu. However, the word tiramisu was used about five times
today. It certainly was, yes.
Yes,
didn't do you any good, though, huh?
No, didn't do me any good, but we heard from Michael Alefante of Mama Luisa's, and he gave us a great rundown. And then we have something to add. add to this. On July 4th at the University Marriott at 880 East 2nd, we will have the Magnificent Seven, along with a reading of the Declaration of Independence, along with some food and fun and a raffle.
The Charles Heller Annual Event.
Heller Annual Event. That's right. Mm-hmm. So we've had a busy morning. I feel like...
We've covered a lot, and I think we covered it well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we did. So...
That'll get you up to leave that for the week.
Yes.
Chew on that this weekend, and then we'll come back for more on Monday.
Chris will be back on Monday. You can get him on his regular hours. He'll be here from 6 to 9.
He'll have plenty to say about some things.
Well, hopefully he had a good rest, and some things, and had some good food. You'll always find out good food. That's what Chris and I do. We like food, so we go out and have some good fun. Hey, shop local this weekend. Go have some good fun. Get some good food in all the restaurants we've talked about. There are a lot of great restaurants throughout Pima County, and if you want to have one on, give me a call. Let's have a suggestion. I'd love to have one on. So,
Sean and Shelley, thank you very much for a great day.
You have a wonderful day. 10:30 The Voice.
Ed, thank you. Sean, pleasure.
Always.